A frequent guest on Issues Etc., Aaron Wolf, died on Easter Sunday, April 21st, 2019. Learn how you can support Aaron's widow and his six children at issuesetc.org/AaronWolf. In his memory, we present this Issues Etc. encore. Her name is Mac Beggs. You might have seen a picture of her online. You wouldn't recognize her as a girl, although she is a girl, despite what she believes, and apparently her parents and her legal guardian believes, and even the state of Texas, her wrestling team and the school that she attends there. She's a girls' state wrestling champ, transitioning from male to female, taking a rather dangerous cocktail of testosterone in order to do so. And of course, she's winning her matches. This is yet another symptom in the war on reality. Aaron Wolf joins us to talk about it. He's managing editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column titled Wrestling with God. Aaron, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
You say more generally, it has been the central mission of the liberal order to free man from nature and nature's God. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's the free part. Free from what? When we talk about liberal, we mean so many things by that word anymore. But ultimately, at the core, it goes back to the Enlightenment and to the philosophies of the philosophers who, like John Locke, wanted to reimagine human nature in such a way that man was born a blank slate, tabula rasa. And if he's born that way, then that means that he doesn't have any particular duty to a creator to behave in any particular way. And so the rise of liberalism in the more philosophical sense, it has been a part of the West now for a few centuries, has had in mind the destruction of all of these traditional orders, these things that sort of for time immemorial have been a part of human societies. That doesn't mean that all these human societies throughout history have followed God's natural law to a T, and certainly we know that history is the story of all kinds of barbarity committed on the part of human beings. But the difference is that, and what really inaugurates the modern era is this sort of philosophical turning against the natural order itself. And so rather than have false gods and idols made with human hands that people attribute the glory that belongs only to the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the pagans of the past would attribute that glory to idols. But today, now, we attribute all of that kind of omnipotence to man himself.
You liken the situation with this young woman who believes she is a man, as far as I can tell, it gets confusing from that point on, wrestling on a girls' wrestling team, and surprise, surprise, because she is undergoing testosterone treatments of some kind, prevailing in all of her matches. You liken this to a kind of institutional child abuse.
I do, and particularly a kind of child sexual abuse. I use the word ephebophilia in the article to distinguish, because she is a teenager. She is post-pubescent, and I think a lot of the time that is a blurry category when we talk about sexual abuse. But really, it goes into childhood even for this girl, because her family, and more of this has come out since I wrote the article, her family has affirmed this transgender identity for her since she was very little. And the confusion over sex for her, now that you know, we used to use the word sex to refer to male or female, and that's the proper usage. And now we sort of use it ambiguously just to refer to copulation as well. But really, there's kind of a shade of abuse in both senses of the term here. And the reason I say that is because there are a lot of mental disorders that we rightly recognize as a society still as something that we don't wish to encourage in people. Schizophrenia, for example. We typically medicate people who think that, you know, they were the fifth member of the Beatles, or that somebody is trying to murder them all the time, some kind of paranoid delusion. We give medication for that. We don't, as a society, affirm that mental disorder. It because it is false. We judge it to be false based on reality, on the facts that we can easily observe. But for some reason, with people who think, for whatever reason, that they are somehow in their personality the opposite sex from what their body clearly says they are, that we've decided to play along with that delusion and even encourage it. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason, and that reason is that we cannot imagine saying no to anyone when it comes to sexuality, because we have to leave that as wide open as possible, lest there be any other sexual limitations put upon us. This is why feminists, even in the 70s, typically said that the lesbian is the true feminist, because her very identity that she's, so whether you say chosen or accepted for herself, is one that defies the natural order. And so, you know, I talk about this some in the article, that there are mental disorders like amputee identity disorder, where people have a proclivity or an inclination toward hating one of their limbs, and they feel discomfort, they feel anxiety over having a working arm. And so they seek out opportunities to have an amputation. And this is actually being debated right now amongst medical ethicists, whether or not it is acceptable to participate in this and actually amputate somebody's arm, or in another case where people hate working eyesight, they feel this anxiety and its hatred toward working eyesight, and so they want to blind themselves. And we actually, thinking Hippocratically, you know, think, well, first do no harm. That is harm, to take away somebody's working arm. But in the case of the people who we're calling transgender now, they have a hatred for their functioning body. In the case of this girl, she from childhood asked, according to her mother, why is it that God gave me girl parts instead of boy parts? This is the typical story you hear in press accounts of any celebrity transgendered person. And so now we have a diagnosis that, instead of calling for treatment, instead of saying we need to get to the bottom of this and maybe there's some kind of organic component, we don't know, but at any rate, we're going to counsel this person, we're going to help them in some way or another. Instead of doing that, we participate, and then we brand other people who say, wait a minute, this is wrong. You know, ovaries in the human body are not the same thing as malignant tumors. They are part of God's functioning design for women. And so the state sanction therapy for these children, really, and certainly adolescents who believe themselves to be transgendered, is to take hormonal therapy. In her case, the so-called T therapy, the needle injections of testosterone, which, among other things, will cause the ovaries not to function. That is a deliberate harming of the natural order and the way that God made women and made her body to function.
Aaron Wolf is our guest managing editor of Chronicles Magazine of American Culture. When we come back, we're going to talk about the degree to which this is state-sanctioned abuse. Stay tuned.
Girls will be boys and boys will be girls. It's a mixed up, muddled up, shook up world. It's up and roll.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151. Or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about a girl state wrestling champ who is transitioning from female to male. Aaron Wolf is our guest, managing editor of Chronicles Magazine, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column titled Wrestling with God. A little bit later, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, will be Hosea chapter 1. Aaron, let's talk about the degree to which this is, as you say, state-sanctioned abuse, because we're not just talking about parents going along with the delusion or the mental illness, not just guardians, friends, and peers. We're talking about a school district, a state doing this.
A public school that, oddly enough, is named Trinity. And I think that there's some diabolical irony in all of that. Yes, it is something that the state of Texas, in this case, and their athletic commission for high schools and for colleges have already gone over and decided they cannot offend against the open yes toward anything that has to do with sexuality. And so they had to address already whether or not they would allow someone who is undergoing this sort of treatment to participate in athletics. And so what you have in a state that is, you know, on some levels very Republican and very conservative, and on others not, as witness the trials and tribulations of Planned Parenthood there, that you have a rule in place that on the surface seems to be very conservative, and that says that an athlete in this situation has to participate in competition with those of the same sex, same biological sex, as is indicated on the athlete's birth certificate. So this becomes the reason why this girl is wrestling other girls. Now, in the picture that you see on my article on chroniclesmagazine.org, you see what looks like a boy, a very muscular, You know, there's hair under the arms, there's thicker neck and everything. Somebody who clearly resembles a young man at this age, who's perhaps smaller in stature. But you listen then to this girl talk, and you can tell that there is something that's artificial that's going on here. There is a sort of veneer of masculinity from the testosterone, but it is a, you know, clearly someone who has been transitioned artificially.
Now, it's also being painted in the press as, look, it's a no-win situation for Texas, because if they were to say, okay, this girl who is chemically attempting a transition to, at least to appear male, if we bent the rule here and said, no, she is going to have to wrestle against boys, then we're really buying into the delusion here. So this is the best thing we can do. It strikes me, Aaron, that there's a very simple solution to this. And that is for Texas to say, we don't let any wrestler, male or female, dope with testosterone.
Yeah.
Period. So
yes.
If you want to dope with testosterone, you don't wrestle. That's all there is to it.
And it amounts to, again, this evil word, no, of saying no to something, and can be traceable to something that has to do with sexuality, and they just can't touch it. And yet, you're absolutely right, and this is the consensus of many of the parents of some of these lady wrestlers who went up against this undefeated girl who's jacked up on testosterone. They were saying, and ESPN did a story on this, and they caught people say mumbling cheater, and then they proceeded to interview Miss Beggs and ask her, do you think that you have an unfair advantage? And she said, oh, absolutely not. My training is what makes me strong. But of course, now we've really gone into the land of the absurd, because, of course, this is exactly what the definition of doping is. And no girl who wrestled looks like she does, because she's deliberately drugging herself, or rather, she's participating in her guardians and her doctor's drugging regime to turn her into a girl with lots and lots of testosterone, which scientists seem to suggest has something to do with masculine traits. So, but of course we're going to go into this realm of the absurd when we're willing to accept the whole concept of transgenderism as something that ought to be pacified. And I think we've talked about this before, that even the APA in its continuing slide into Sodom has tweaks these definitions so that what used to be gender identity disorder, which posits, it's a separate question for Christians as to whether all this is organic, or whether there's some sort of diabolical element, or it's just something that pertains to human sin, or a combination of all of the above. But they've now, from the scientific standpoint, changed it to gender dysphoria. And so really there is no diagnosis of a disorder in any man who obsesses over being a woman, or woman who obsesses over being a man, unless that person has dysphoria about that condition. In other words, the person feels bad about wanting to be the other sex. So we've literally located the core of our scientific analysis in human feelings, which if we're willing to do that, then there's no degree of insanity that we're not going to have to embrace in order to try to put a public face on it.
You observed in the course of writing your article some of the social media behavior of both the parents and of this girl. What did you learn there?
Well, it's depressing, I'll tell you that. If ever you want a window into teenage America, so typically you can just go to Facebook and find everything you want because everything is public, and that's an entirely different social and cultural phenomenon to think about. But Mac Beggs puts everything, multiple posts every day on there for the world to consume, and it's just the typical sort of liberal in every sense of the word regurgitation of memes and left-wing politics. I was struck by the labeling of dress codes for girls in one of these memes as being encouraging rape culture. So, and this is actually a thing right now in, of all places, my hometown of Rockford, Illinois, because our local Catholic high school is in national news because they actually have a dress code for girls for the prom. And this turns out, according to the New York Daily News and Chicago Tribune, to be body shaming. So this is a theme that I found even in Mac Beggs, that in her social media, that the idea of saying that a girl shouldn't show her bra straps in school is offensive and encourages rape culture because it assumes that boys can't control themselves in the presence of girls in varying degrees of undress, and implies, according to them, that if a girl were to be sexually assaulted, well, then it would be her fault because she showed her bra strap, which of course is ridiculous. But it is the same sort of moral reasoning that goes to the question of transgenderism itself, that there is some kind of ontological or some sort of realness to masculinity, to maleness, and to femaleness. And of course, as Christians, we know that, yes, that is true. We can observe it with our eyes, but we also have God's sure word that says, male and female created he them. But even as darkened as our reasoning is by sin, and as marred as the image of God is in fallen man, we can still recognize what a man is and what a woman is. And that again goes to that, to this topic of natural law, that we have all these people sitting in this audience and watching this girl wrestle and destroy all of her opponents, and they just know there's something not right about it, and that something not fair about it. And they're not saying that, you know, we want T therapy for all our girls too. They're just saying, you know, there's something not right about this. It's instinctive in us. And then, of course, we hear from the leading lights of our culture why we should ignore that reasoning that we're born with, that's even there despite our sin. That here are some, you know, some scientific reasons why you can ignore all that, and they really amount to sort of liberal propaganda.
Aaron Wolf is managing editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture. He's author of a recent column titled Wrestling with God. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You can also subscribe to Chronicles Magazine by calling 800-877-5459. That's 800-877-5459. Aaron, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Folks, Aaron Wolf will also be making the case for natural law at the Summers Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 9th and Saturday, June the 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, about 15 miles east of St. Louis. Other topics include the Reformation's relevancy, depression and mental illness, modern-day prophets and apostles, and Lutheran piety. Also, we'll cover the topic of media discernment. You can find out more and register for the June Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference at our website, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. This summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference. When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues. We'll be in not a very often visited book, Hosea chapter 1. We'll see what's in store, finding Christ in the Old Testament, right after this.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the 6 chief parts and the 7 liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mark your calendars for the 4th annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, Saturday and Sunday, March 18th and 19th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Featuring over 50 exhibitors, including many new vendors, as well as recycling and shredding services on site. And on Saturday from 12 to 2, join home and garden experts from Mosby Building Arts, Priscilla's Nursery, and many, many more, as well as local media personalities meeting and greeting with show visitors. And don't forget, Fred Bird appears both days. Sunday is Family Safety Day, provided by Glennon Safety Kids Program and Sports Care Team. Pet adoption services on site. Visitors can register to win a $500 voucher for pet grooming services, compliments of Tina's Pet Grooming in Edwardsville, Illinois. Check them out on Facebook. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Free admission and parking. Learn more at mehgs.org.